for another episode of Boxing News Today. And today we're going to start off talking about the women. I love talking about the women boxing. It's been a fantastic rise over the past few years in terms of who's dominating who and where they're dominating per se. So let's have a quick look at the rankings in the wake of Sandy Ryan beating Terry Harper most recently. Ryan moves up to number two, by the way, in her respective division. That would be the the junior welterweight division, I think. Anyway, it doesn't really matter. I'm going to go through the rankings because I see that Sandy Ryan is calling out a few names here. She'd certainly like to take on Natasha Jonas, maybe even Chantel Cameron. But anyway, we'll see. I just wanted to rip through these various rankings for you because there are some names that have come up. I'd like to bring it to the attention of both my American listeners and English listeners because there's a debate raging on Reddit right now with respect to some of the fighters, both male and female, from other parts of the world who are simply, quite frankly, ignored by the managers and promoters in both the United States and England, mainly because of the lack of media attention that they're given, even though they would qualify as being very good fighters. At the very, very top of the rankings in the 175-pound plus division, you're going to see Lanny Daniels still sitting on top. But underneath her are a couple of fighters who previously weren't ranked. Raquel Miller, for example, previously ranked number five, now number two, Alri Melicia. Okay. Number four is Angie Paula Roca, that previously mentioned. Raquel Miller, who wasn't ranked before, is now number three. And Bolatito Olawole, previously not ranked, and is now sitting at number five in that 175-plus. So some names we haven't even talked about here on Talk and Fight, sitting atop in the top five rankings there. In the super middleweight division, so you're up to 168 pounds here. Number one, Savannah Marshall. Number two, Franzon Cruz de Zern. Number three, Shadisa Green. Number four, Raquel Miller, previously ranked number five. And number five is Olivia Curry, previously ranked number five. So a little bit of switch up in the bottom. In the middleweight division, up to 160, no surprise, Clarissa Shields, number one. Savannah Marshall, number two. Mukpule Ingabate. Maybe Inubate, Bane. Whew, sorry. But anyway, she's previously ranked number four, now number sitting at number three. With her win over Rita Maribi on December 9th. So we don't know when she's fighting next, and she has a record of 12-8-3, but she's ranked number three. Again, as someone who, not only can I not pronounce her name, but have not mentioned her on Talking Fight. Someone else who's new, she lost last to Lanny Daniels, but she's now in this middleweight division, sitting at number four, Desley Robinson. And she's up to fight Kay Scott next, one of my favorite fighters here in Talk and Fight. And number five in that division, Jessica Guerra, who won against Brianna Jimenez back in October. In the junior middleweight division, so we're now up to 154 pounds, number one, Terry Harper. Number two, Marie-Eve Duclair. Number three, Emma Kozin. Number four, Femke Hermans. And number five, Cecilia Breakhouse. In the welterweight division, up to 147, number one, Natasha Jonas, number two, Sandy Ryan, number three, Jessica McCaskill, number four, Michaela Mayer, number five, Maricela Carnino, who recently defeated Candy Wyatt, by the way, back in February. Junior welterweight division, up to 140, number one, Katie Taylor, still sitting there, number two, Chantel Cameron, still sitting there, Jessica McCaskill's number three, Jessica Camara, the Canadian, previously ranked number five, is now up to number four, and previously unranked, Anahai Esther Sanchez, who defeated Marissa Joanna Portillo back in November to earn that ranking. It's interesting that Callie Rice has been removed from the rankings due to inactivity, and Sandy Ryan moved up to welterweight. In the lightweight division, up to 135 pounds, Katie Taylor, number one, Caroline Dubois, number two, Estelle Mostelli, Number three, Myra Monio, number four, and Elham Mekhalad, number five. And she won against Yulila Kostenko on May 28th last year. Last one, I'll give you at junior lightweights. Delphine Persoon, number one, previously ranked number two. Elham Mekhalad, previously ranked number three, now number two. Beatrice Ferreira, previously ranked number four, now number three. And Bo Mi Ri Shin, previously ranked number three, is now number four. Probably, I have no idea where she's fighting out of, but she won against, and I mentioned this before a few weeks back, maybe a month or two. But anyway, she won against Patarawan Diawasan. And number five, rounding out this particular division, Hyunmi Choi. And she's coming up against Jessica Kamara next. Another Canadian. There you go. Alicia Baumgartner, by the way, has been removed for testing positive for banned substance, thus creating those movements. So there's a little bit of news on the ranking side of things anyway, in the women's divisions. I wanted to talk about an upcoming fight because, once again, the ladies often get overlooked. We have a let's have a quick look here. Rocky Hernandez, Eduardo Rocky Hernandez, returns to action May 11th, a DAZN doubleheader in Mexico. He's easy to root for. His first crack at the gold saw him overwhelm Oshaki Foster, by the way, back, I believe, well, a few years ago. I don't know when it was. And his first stop on the comeback trail pits him against Daniel Lugo, 27-2-1, 18 knockouts, who likewise fell just short of a career-defining win when he settled for a majority draw against Mauricio Lara last month. So he's a solid test for Hernandez. But what I wanted to mention, way down in this particular article, the co-feature pits super bantamweight champ Erica Cruz. That's in the WBA's rankings there. Anyway, Erica Cruz, 17-2, three knockouts. She's up against mandatory challenger Nazarena Romero, 13-0-1, seven knockouts. And a great Argentine fighter. And again, one of the countries that I'm going to say it, is often overlooked in terms of the quality of the boxers they churn out. And here's one, though, that is climbing the rankings fast. Nazarena Romero. And as this particular article on Bad Left Hook points out, lurking in the lower weight classes. Anyway, Erica Cruz's three-fight 2023 saw her fall to Amanda Serrano, as you might recall, in the fight of the year candidate. She rebounded in Tijuana and then dropped to 122 and edged out Marilyn Rivas for a belt last November. And Romero, for her part, fought Rivas as well to a technical draw 5 months prior. So that's going to be a good battle. Let's see what Cruz has to say. Erica Cruz says, "I'm stepping into the ring, not just to defend my title, but to conquer. Romero may be the mandatory opponent, but my sights are set on bigger dreams. Yamileth Mercado, Ellie Scottney, Segaline Lefebvre, I'm coming for all the belts. Romero won't be the one to stand in the way of my destiny. Viva Mexico, exclamation point," she said. Fair enough. All righty, let's move along to someone from France, currently fighting out of Montreal. I had the Tigers announce a new fight for Christian Mbili. He's 26-0, a guy to look out for. And probably in all that talk about Canelo Alvarez and who he might be fighting, Christian Mbili is often left out of that conversation. He really should be included in the conversation, but he's left out. Who cares? He's now going to fight against a British fighter. What's his name? Mark Heffron. Sorry. Heffron, he's 30-3-1, 24 knockouts. I'm going to put my money on Mbili here. My money on Mbili in what would be his first fight since signing with Top Rank. 32-year-old Heffron is coming off a win, albeit one at a much lower level. The co-feature is one that we're going to look forward to as well. Again, this is a fight taking place, I believe, in Montreal. I have a quick look here. Hang on. Quebec, Canada. So I'm going to hazard a guess and say Montreal. The co-feature will mark the return of Russian beast Arslan Bekmambetov, last seen being exposed by Ajit Kabayev's hurtful body attack. The towering Bekmambetov was being looked at by some as the next best thing at heavyweight, and his loss came as something as a disappointment. Going up against Bekmambetov will be New Zealand's Junior Fa, who is coming off a loss himself, which came on the same Saudi card, you might recall, with Frank Sanchez stopping him after what had been a pretty gutsy effort by Fa. So that's going to be a good fight indeed, a good heavyweight battle between two guys that have something to prove. They both want to get back in the fight for the top for sure. Fa's record, by the way, is 20-3, 11 knockouts. Bekmambetov, same age, 34. He's 18-1, and he's got 17 knockouts on his record. So anyway, that's going to be a good battle. Good for Eye of the Tiger management over in Montreal for putting that together. One of our favorites that we talk about here on Talk and Fight quite often, Florian Marco, responded to some of Chris Congo's comments. They're going to be fighting shortly. Congo, he claims, is underestimating him, and Marco says he will make him pay for that. As you might recall, the hostility between the pair first erupted with a press conference altercation last year. Now the rivalry will reach a conclusion when they fight on the Fabio Wardley Frazier Clark undercard, which is going to be aired live on Sky Sports, I see. So Marco continues, he was disrespectful to me. He came like I was nobody. He interrupts me, and that's why I pushed him. He likes to bully people, but if you bully him, he stops. And he acknowledges that Congo made the approach to get this fight. Now he has what he's wishing for, Marco said, with menace, apparently. This is what he wanted. He wanted this fight to happen. Now he has it. We're going to see on March 31st if he's going to regret it. Good for Florian Marco. And let's see if that Albanian can take top honors. All right. Speaking of that ongoing debate on Reddit with respect to UK and USA media, in particular, their influence on managers and promoters. I was talking on Reddit about some African fighters and Middle Eastern fighters having to relocate to European countries in order to have access to managers and promoters. And a lot of comments via UK and US boxing fans basically were, well, who are some of these fighters from Africa and the Middle East? They were just simply unaware. So here's an interesting article out of boxingscene.com. It starts off this way. I won't read the whole thing, but I just wanted to mention a couple of names here. While his friends and family are making plans for the upcoming holiday weekend, British and Commonwealth junior bantamweight title holder Marcel Braithwaite, he's 16-3-1, by the way, will be packing for a very important business trip. Braithwaite is due to jet out to South Africa, where he will box 115-pound IBO title holder Ricardo Malagica. And that'll take place on April 5th in Kempton Park. The heavy-handed Malagica, he's 12-2, 9 knockouts, was born and raised in Gauteng, Johannesburg, fewer than 30 miles from Kempton Park. All but one of his professional fights have taken place at Emperor's Palace, the venue for his fight with Braithwaite. So I just want to mention Ricardo Malagica and the fact that someone from England is traveling down to challenge him at Kempton Park. So, and in a place called Emperor's Palace, which sounds pretty cool. So Braithwaite simply said, I'm excited. I'm looking forward to this whole experience. If I can go to South Africa and do it there, I can do it anywhere. I've always wanted to go to Africa, but I got to be honest, I didn't expect it to come about like this, but I'm grateful. I'm going to soak everything up without a doubt, and good luck to him. All righty. an upcoming fight we're looking forward to. IBF Junior Welterweight Champ Supriel Mateus. He's 21, 20 knockouts. Makes a homecoming return to Puerto Rico when he defends his world title against unbeaten Liam Perro, 24-0, 15 knockouts at the Coliseo Juan Albán Cruz Abreu in Manatee. It's on Saturday, June 15th, be shown on DAZN. Said Mateus, "I'm super excited to be able to be in front of my people defending the title that we had such a hard time getting. The mentality will always be the same, and in front of my people, I don't even have to say it. They know me, the pride of Matanilo." Liam Perro, for his part, said, "I've waited my whole life for this opportunity. Fighters fight, and I can't wait for the boogeyman in his backyard." So June 15th represents Matchroom's first ever event in Puerto Rico. And it's the first fight with Mateus after he signed a co-promotional deal with Matchroom and Fresh Productions. So there you go. There's an example of Matchroom. I mean, Puerto Rico is not exactly a very big island, but it is a territory of the United States. It does have reach into the States. And a lot of great fighters, as you know, hail from Puerto Rico. One female in particular, Sebastian Fundora, Will Riddle. He is a riddle. But anyway, he's a tall fella, and he's going to be fighting Tim Siu. I've been talking about this for a bit now, so I won't burden you with more news out of this. But it is interesting when you see a similarity, shall we say, between what's going on. Tim Siu, he's not, as you say, he's not sweating Fundora's freakish height and reach, which could make life difficult for him in this fight. There's so much for Tim to lose, as I said the other day, regarding future dough money, and he can't afford any slip-ups without a doubt. Brian Mendoza, though, laid down a blueprint for defeating Fundora and is relaxed, say, because he beat him in his last fight. Mendoza's guidebook on how to chop down the beanstalk of Fundora has calmed Sayu's nerves, but there's no guarantee he'll be able to do the same thing. The major issue that Sayu's 29 years old, could have in this fight is the short time he's had to train for the lanky Fundora. He stepped in just last week as a replacement for the injured Keith Thurman, as we all know. So we're looking forward to that. I didn't want to say too much because I've been talking fight about these two guys for quite some time now. But let's talk about Mike Tyson for a second here. What happened is the headline. What happened when Mike Tyson fought while stoned is mind-blowing. Mike Tyson was completely stoned during his fight with Andrew Golita back 24 years ago. This is in sportsbible.com, by the way, great little article. Mike Tyson fought 58 times professionally in his career, but on one occasion, he was completely stoned. Back in 2000, not too long ago, the baddest man on the planet took on Andrew Golita at the Palace in Michigan. Tyson was 34 at the time and had already been world heavyweight champion. He put on a clinic, producing a dominant display which saw Tyson secure a second-round technical knockout. Okay, although Golita had a height and reach advantage, Iron Mike pummeled him with quick and brutal combinations. The Polish fighter could not cope with the onslaught and told his corner he would not be returning for the third round. He suffered a broken cheekbone, a concussion, and a neck injury in his bout with Tyson. But the fight was later ruled a no contest after drugs test showed he had marijuana in his system. Right. So there's a lesson for Tim Siu. No matter how short you are, if you're powerful, you can chop down that tree. Which brings us to a headline that I noticed over in The Sun, a newspaper out of the UK. And it is, quite frankly, hilarious. I put a link down, if you're watching on YouTube, in the description, just for the picture alone, okay? Mike Tyson these days is producing marijuana, but he's producing edibles. And the packaged edibles, they're branded Mike Bites, okay? So I don't know if you're familiar with edibles or not, but basically you eat these bad boys and you may or may not get high, depending on whether they contain CBD or THC, whatever. But anyway, I thought it's hilarious. They're called Mike Bites. And the picture adorning the packaging is an ear with a bite, a chunk taken off the top. It's absolutely incredible. Let me just read a very, very brief portion of this article. Says the headline, Mike Tyson selling edibles shaped like bitten ears in New York in promo push before Jake Paul fight. Iron Mike is set to host a huge promotional event in an iconic New York location. Mike Tyson is flogging edibles shaped like bitten ears, a nod to his infamous bite to Evander Holyfield in New York weed shops. Iron Mike, he's now 57, has entered the marijuana industry since hanging up his gloves, and he's, to be frank, quite well-known in that area. Tyson has a huge 40-acre cannabis ranch in California and is said to make 500,000 pounds a month from his empire. Marijuana for recreational purposes was legalized in New York State in 2021. Former heavyweight champ Tyson has since got his Mike Bites product stocked in stores in Greenwich Village, Brooklyn, Syracuse, and Farmingdale. And ahead of his summer bet with Jake Paul, native New Yorker Tyson is set for a huge promotional push, he says. According to the New York Post, Iron Mike is set to hold a promotional event in Times Square next month. This is going to be huge over there for sure. A statement from Tyson read, growing up in Brooklyn, I could never imagine a time when cannabis would be legally utilized to enhance both mental and physical well-being. Yet, here we are, witnessing the incredible progress. New York, we still have improvements to make in expanding access to this plant-based wellness, but together, I'm confident we will forge a new standard of excellence, prioritizing safety, quality, and taste to ensure unparalleled experiences. Isn't that brilliant? Absolutely brilliant. Speaking of drugs, bad boy Connor Benn is carrying on with business as usual after being left facing an uncertain future on home soil. The UK Anti-Doping Agency and British Boxing Board of Control reportedly won an appeal against the verdict to lift his temporary suspension after testing positive for the banned substance, clomiphene, in the build-up to his fight with Chris Eubank Jr. way back in 2022, which was cancelled, and has since seen Ben fought abroad. Speaking of fighting abroad, so maybe Conor Benn can go challenge some African fighters and prove his worth on that continent. Just a thought. All right, boxing fans, that's it for me today. Thanks for joining. Appreciate it very much. Remember to like, share, subscribe, hit that notification bell, and we'll see you once again, 11 a.m. Eastern Time, live here on Talk and Fight.